Reading from God's holy word, we first read from the Hebrew Testament in the book of Proverbs. We're in the 8th chapter. This is Trinity Sunday, and so the scriptures are about the ways that we know God as a Trinitarian, as a triune God. And so we're reading from Proverbs because this reminds us of how the people understood the wisdom of God. So hear then these words. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights along the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates leading into the city, at the entrances she cries aloud. To you, O men, I call out, I raise my voice to all mankind. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. When there were no oceans, I was given birth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the earth or its fields or any of the dust of the world, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above the and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundaries so that the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was the craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight the day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, and delighting in humankind. And reading from Paul's epistle to the Romans, to the church in Rome, we're in the 5th chapter, the first 5 verses. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. The gospel lesson today comes from the 16th chapter of the gospel according to John. Jesus is still teaching his disciples in this reading. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Here ends our reading from God's holy word. Let us pray. Oh God, I ask that you bless now the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts, that it might be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Paul was in Rome. He was in Rome because he had been sentenced before a magistrate in Turkey, and as a Roman citizen, he declared his right to a trial before Caesar. So he was shipped from Turkey to Rome, where he was living in house arrest. You know, it's cheaper to put somebody up where they have to pay their own rent and food and just guard them than it is to keep them in prison while they're awaiting trial. So he was under house arrest in Rome. And he knew that there was a Christian church there, and he had met some of the members as they had come to visit him. And so he started writing them a letter. The book of Romans is the only letter in its entirety that we have from Paul. It is also the only church to whom he wrote a letter that we have a copy of that he did not start. It's a church that someone else started. So he's not got that emotional investment of birthing that church and trying to keep that congregation on the straight and narrow. In many ways, it's Paul's memoirs, his autobiography. Everything that he's come to know since his vision of Jesus as the Christ and his acceptance into the Christian faith and the work that he had done all those decades traveling around and declaring that Jesus was the Christ, baptizing in his name and praying that people might receive the Holy Spirit. It's his manual on what it looks like to be a good church, to be a good Christian. When I was reading the first five verses of the fifth chapter this week, I was thinking, you know, this is the perfect graduation address. Maybe it's the lens through which I was reading it. I just listened to a graduation address last Saturday, so, you know, it's kind of in my mind, right? It was kind of a neat thing. I heard that Russell Wilson was speaking here in Madison, and I heard that he did a really good job, but I didn't hear what he said. I was listening to someone else. We were at my daughter's graduation, as you all know, and we're sitting there. We got there early so we could get seats up front because you want to see him put the hood on, you know, and it's not as up front as you like because they put all the students first, right? But we were there, and it was cold, and around 8 o'clock, about an hour before the ceremony was to start, I noticed that there was someone dressed all in black up on the top of the roof of the building right behind the stage, the podium. And then when my mother and I used the facilities that were arranged temporarily, there were a lot of different police agencies who had cars there, and they had their comms central there. And there were a lot of people looking very much like the person in black that I could see. Well, then someone else in our party, when we returned to our seats, noted that there were people all over the place. And it's like, wow, this is the first graduation I've ever been to where we have sharpshooters all over. And I know Obama's speaking at the Air Force Academy, so he wasn't going to be there. It's like, wow, this is pretty important stuff here. So they started the ceremony, and the students processed in, and then Secret Service looking people went past, and then some of the dignitaries from the stage, and then more Secret Service people, and then more dignitaries, and then more Secret Service people. And we kept thinking, what's going on? Because we kept reading the program, and there's not even a guest speaker. And we're going, this is a weird graduation. We don't have a keynote address. Oh, good, it'll be short, because we were freezing. It was cold. Well, there wasn't anything in the program because they didn't want anyone to have knowledge ahead of time. But one of the graduates for baccalaureate, for bachelor's, was and is still the son of the Prime Minister of Qatar. And so the Prime Minister of Qatar, whose name I have no clue how to say other than Sheikh Allah, and then there's four more words, was there, and he was the keynote speaker. That's like having Obama show up to be the guest speaker at Beijing, China. It's a little scary, huh? Yeah. The problem was that he doesn't speak English. So the Brigadier General of the Qatar military, who is the lead envoy to the Washington, D.C. Embassy for Qatar, was present also, and he read in English Sheikh, the Prime Minister's graduation announcement or address for us, the baccalaureate, if you will. And you know what? It doesn't matter what country you're from, what language you speak, what culture you have, what religion you are, your graduation announcements sound an awful lot like the ones I grew up listening to. We've raised these people. We've poured our life into them. They've poured so much into it. And now they've obtained something, and we want only the best for them. And we want them to take away some truths that they carry always. And so I sat down this week to prepare for Sunday's sermon, and I read this. So now, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith in God's promises, We can have real peace with God because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Because of our faith, he has brought us into this place of highest privilege where we now stand. We confidently and joyfully look forward to becoming all that God has in mind for us to be. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us. They help us learn to be patient. Patience develops our strength of character and helps us trust God more each day until finally our hope and faith are strong and steady. We are then able to hold our heads high no matter what happens and confidently know that all is well. We know how dearly God loves us. And we feel this warm love within us because God has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with God's love. Now that's a more contemporary and complete translation instead of a literal translation of Paul's Greek. We are justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to grace in which we stand. Suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Wow. Words to live by, yeah? Words to live by. They talk about what we've done, they talk about where we are right now, and they talk about where we're going. Perfect graduation address. Today we're celebrating the Trinity, and this text from Paul reminds us that we know God in three ways. We know God as our Creator, whom we seek to have a close and strengthening relationship with, that we might have God's peace in our hearts and in our lives. We know God as Jesus, the Christ, through whom we have salvation. And we know God as the Holy Spirit, the power that gives us all we need to grow that relationship with God and to be part of God's realm, not just after earthly death and eternal life, but right now. In this world, in this time. Paul is not offering to us trite platitudes and superficial optimistic statements. He understands that there are times when our suffering does cause such a brokenness that we can't be healed from it. He understands that we might be broken in body, but still need strength in our hearts and in our minds to endure it. He knows what it is to have those kinds of brokennesses, to be broken in that way. We'll get it out. Sometimes there is suffering that we heal from. But in all of it, in all of this, he invites us to be intentional in our growth. He invites us to come to an understanding, to make use of it. How intentional are we when those times are difficult, when we might face some struggles, when we might know some suffering, and even when we don't? How intentional are we? Some of us might be intentional in our prayer, daily praying to God and looking for strength and growing relationships and lifting others up. Some of us might be intentional in the works that we do, wanting to help those who have food crises by working to stock food pantries or in soup kitchens. Some of us may want to change the world. I heard a few students say that last weekend, you know? They want to change the world. They're going to make it the way they think it might be better. How intentional are we inviting God to help us with the gifts we need to change where we are the moments we're in, having the world be a better place. How open are we to the working of God's Holy Spirit, that we might become all that God intended us to be? Each of us will decide our own path, our own way. Each of us will work towards becoming that by being open to what God wants of us, what God will give us. But most importantly, by being open to the love of God that is poured out abundantly upon us through God's grace. A warm love, a love that fills us, a love that spills over to all things. A love that gives us the ability to endure our suffering, to find the character we need to persevere, to be patient, and to be present. That others too, through us, might know God. I pray it is so today and in all the days to come, that we will not be disappointed, because our hope is in God, who is eternal and everlasting, and through the work of God's Holy Spirit has poured love in abundance into our hearts. Amen.